at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much again, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Our special guest today is Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former legislator, representative of District 1 in the state of Florida House of Representatives. I'm delighted that he's taken time out of a busy schedule to let's discuss what is taking place in America today with the attempt by some black-robed judges that are going out of bounds and trying to, if you please, carry out lawless decisions from the bench because they wear a black robe. Congressman Hill, just before the news break, we talked about the fact that we've got these judges that are somehow, some way, because in the black robe, thinking that they can do what they want to do, enforcing their decisions on the President of the United States of America trying to make that decision. I'm looking at an article that says, here's what federal judges could do if they're ignored by Donald J. Trump's administration. Dated March 17th, 2025. Recent court orders slowing down or indefinitely blocking President Trump's policy have raised the specter that the executive branch might openly flout the federal judiciary and prompted questions about how the judges should respond. This article further says any decision by the administration to defy any federal court orders would immediately implicate profound constitutional questions about separation of powers and have each branch of the government in check for centuries. That's in large part because it would test the power of the courts to enforce rulings that they are supposed to be final words on, end quote. The question that I have, Congressman Hill, what would cause a federal judge in his district to think that with 179 judges, that each one could just pick and choose and file suit against any element of what President Trump is doing and think it is supposed to be the final word, as this writer claims that it is? And this writer goes further to say the most likely, this is almost laughable, Congressman, the most likely response by a court if the administration were to defy the edict from the bench would be to hold the agency acting in defiance and order the ruling in civil contempt, which would allow a judge to levy fines on the government for its noncompliance. Further, it says, so you fine whoever the relevant defendant is, whether it's the Secretary of State, the Treasurer, or some other official, and the fines escalate so much per day, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So here's the mindset of that nitwit that was being interviewed on CNN that said that if President Trump defies the court order, then that judge has the authority to fine President Trump, that is the federal government, and any department that he feels has violated his order in defiance. What say you? Are we going to get to the point, diminish to the point in our constitutional republic where an independent individual, judge with a black robe on, that may be having a Trump derangement syndrome, hates Trump, maybe a dyed-in-the-wool socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic judge, and is going to try to undermine what Trump is doing by his order, and then say, if you don't, we're going to fine you. What say you?
Well, it can't be done, Dr. Youngblood. And evidence of that is just recently when they took Trump through this entire lawfare to try to stop him from running for president, mm-hmm. when they were charging him with all these offenses decisions he had made while he was president, and they're bringing charges against him about that. The final ruling, let me not say final ruling, but the Supreme Court decision was that, no, you cannot hold him or press charges against him for actions he has taken while he is performing his official duties. This will fall under the same category. The only difference is instead of charging him with a crime and then bringing it before some leftist judge in court in Washington, D.C., they're just going to say, we're going to fine you money instead. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. And here's another interesting thing, Dr. Youngblood, is that when you bring a case before a judicial circuit, it is supposed to be a schedule as to who is going to be the next judge up who's going to take that case. You just can't pick whatever judge you want. But it seems that's what the left is doing. They have found a way to get around the process of it's the next judge's turn, or even the arbitrary way of being chosen. They are specifically choosing these judges who they know hold leftist, socialist, Marxist doctrine, ideology. Excellent. That's exactly who they are choosing because they know how they're going to respond. And they know that these judges that they are choosing to carry out these unlawful, illegal orders have a hatred towards Trump, which is beyond natural behavior. It's a hatred that is so strong towards this one man that they are willing to go against their country. They're willing to go against their oath of office. They're willing to go against the rule of law. They detest Donald Trump so much that they throw all logic aside and instead come out with these really crazy rulings that you cannot deport terrorists, that you cannot fire people who work under you. It doesn't make sense. You must rehire these people. You must turn that plane around. You must give me an explanation of why you are defying me. They've lost their sense of judgment. They've lost their logic. And to me, they are displaying bad behavior. And they should be impeached.
Absolutely, should be removed. Congressman Hill, before we take our caller, I'm going to read a couple of verses. Deuteronomy 16:19 says, "Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous." Exodus 23:8 says, "Thou shalt not take a gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous." And I could go on and on and on with the statements in relationship to that. 1 Samuel 8:3 says, "And the sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. And what you're talking about just a moment ago is simply judge shopping. And the judge shopping, in my most humble opinion, is the same as buying and bribing a judge, because that judge is against Trump, as you said. I call it the Trump derangement syndrome. There's somehow, some way, the mindset that the Trump effect has affected them so that they cannot think logically anymore. And somehow, some way, because the Marxist left, called the Communist Democratic Party, has instilled in some of these judges such a sense of power that they feel that somehow, some way, they can control the executive office, the executive branch. And my Constitution says that they cannot. But to hold your thought a moment, I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood, Representative Hill. How are you today?
Hello, Jim.
Doing good. I pray that you are.
Doing well. I don't know if you just read this or not, but there's a dropping article right now. James Boasberg was the one that ruled on the airplanes and those being turned around. Turns out his daughter, Catherine Boasberg, works for a 501(c) that's called Partners for Justice. And their primary existence is they oppose mass deportations and legislation targeting members of criminal gangs. That very organization itself also uses grants from government money, in other words, you and I and everyone who pays taxes there, to sustain their organization. Now, his daughter, he has to know that his daughter is in that. I mean, you know, come on, family. He should have recused himself from this. So I think that a lot of these judges, just like I said yesterday to you there, follow the money, and it'll get back to where these judges and why they're ruling the way they are. So as Mr. Hill said, it's about disrespecting and disliking somebody so much that they're willing to violate their oaths. I also believe that money has a huge factor in this. And this right here, just like that judge up in New York City where his daughter made all that money writing those books and starting PAC funds against Trump there. To me, Merchant, I think this was his name, I can't remember. The guy
Merchant.
From Columbia.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. His daughter made all that money. So to me, it's just a matter of following the money back where it came from.
Absolutely. Hold your thought there for a moment, Jim, and let's see what Congressman Hill says in relationship to your statements. So, Congressman Hill, my question, based on what Jim just said, how should the Trump administration respond? If it were me, I would take a sharp knife and chop off that fund. That funding going to that 501c3 would be the first response. But how should they respond? How should the administration respond, knowing what we've just heard?
Well, Jim is 100% correct of following the money. And it's no surprise when you read or learn that his daughter, this judge's daughter, is a part of this NGO, non-government organization, receiving government funds, probably through USAID, and taxpayers' money, your and my hard-earned dollars, that they are getting this money to push a leftist, socialist, Marxist agenda. And here, this judge, his daughter, this judge is helping to facilitate what they are doing. And you're right, Dr. Youngblood, two things should be done. One, first, they're called out by the article that Jim was able to bring forward. You call them out, because that's your justification for cutting off that aid, stopping that money. And then we're going to have another judge saying that you can't stop that money, whatever. But you cut off that funding from them, and then because he is displaying this bad behavior, you go ahead and impeach this federal judge. And Congress can do it. Now, they couldn't do it to that judge in New York. What's his name? Mershon?
Mershon.
Because that was at the state level, and that the Democrats control the legislative branch in the state, so they didn't have enough votes to set up an impeachment. But he should have been no doubt impeached also, but this federal judge should most definitely be impeached and the funding cut off from his daughter's organization.
Absolutely. Jim, what say you?
Oh, I would thoroughly agree. To me, I think they're motivated by, you know, this outright comes down to a battle between good and evil. The the verses that you read perfectly demonstrate what you're supposed to do if you sit in judgment. You know, Christ spoke about judge how you would want to be judged. Judge not lest you be judged with the same manner, I think is what he said. But still, it comes down to the same thing, that they're using not only their hatred for Donald Trump, but that money is involved in this as well. They would rather betray their country, betray their office, betray their oath, and all they want out of it is that next dollar bill that comes from the taxpayer.
That fits into what's said in Psalms 26:10, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. Then in Isaiah 33:15, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands, hath holding a bribe, that stoppeth his ears from hearing the blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil before him. That's what we're witnessing today. Jim, you're exactly right. It deserves our prayer and recognition that we're witnessing as, and I hate to use the term because the left has used it so often inappropriately, but witnessing a constitutional crisis. And that crisis is in the realm of we having 179 black-robed judges that feel that somehow, some way, they can get out of their bounds and can rule against the executive office. I'm looking at a headline where it is called Unprecedented and Illegal. The Department of Justice seeks to halt the order by super judges preventing Trump's executive decisions. They're taking it right. They're calling these judges that are supposed to judge in certain areas, they're calling them super judges, and the Constitution doesn't afford that, does not to give us that recognition at all. But, Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
God bless you as we keep looking up.
God bless you too, sir, gentlemen.
Thank you so much. Congressman Hill, I'm looking at an article, No Judge Rules the Executive Branch. The Constitution crushes the myth of judicial supremacy. Let me just read a couple of paragraphs and get your response. Another day, another federal judge fancying himself to be king. In a stunning display of judicial overreach, a federal judge, this is talking about one in California, has attempted to override the constitutional authority of the President of the United States. On Thursday, the U.S. Judge William Alsup, sitting in San Francisco, ordered six executive agencies to reinstate thousands of employees recently dismissed as part of President Donald Trump's, as he's calling it, lawful effort to restore accountability and efficiency, et cetera, et cetera. The judge's ruling purports to bind, this is the point, the judge's ruling purports to bind the Department of Defense, the Department of Veterans Affairs, Agriculture, Energy, Interior, and the Treasury. And if a single unelected judge can dictate the internal operations of the executive branch, let's make one thing absolutely clear, this writer says, no single judge, nor even a panel of them, has the constitutional authority to override, to countermand, or nullify any lawful order issued by the President of the United States directed at officers within the executive branch. That assertion is not up for debate. It is a matter of constitutional design, historical precedents, and the plain language of the founding charter of America. How do you respond? It's pretty clear in this writer is what he said. The writer is saying that there's not a federal judge, and that would be the circuit judges, or even, as I would be so bold enough to say, the Supreme Court judges, that can put on a black robe and then dictate what the Oval Office, the President of the United States, says or does. Now, if he counters or goes astray against the Constitution, of course he's liable and accountable. But other than that, I see clearly that what we're witnessing in America today is the overreach of these judges that are ruling illegally from the bench. How do you take that? How do you respond to it? What should our listeners hear and understand?
Well, the author is absolutely correct there, Dr. Youngblood, that this single individual does not have the authority to do what they are professing to do. They simply cannot, and they should be ignored. And then they should be impeached. And again, the reason why you start impeaching these judges is it will make others who are thinking that they can do the same thing, it will make them think twice, and they'll back off because they don't want to. Because if you're impeached, then what? You lose your cushy government job, and now you have to go look for work. And so they don't want to do that. They want to keep the money, as Jim said, follow the money. They want to keep the money flowing, their cushy government job. And so they don't want to be impeached. You impeach one or two of these judges who are truly behaving in an outrageous manner, they're not displaying good behavior, then it will put a stop to all of this nonsense. They have no authority at all. They do not have the authority. It's not written in the Constitution, which they said an oath to uphold and protect. Nowhere in that Constitution gives them the authority to do what they are doing. And a stop, there needs to be put a stop to this by the Trump administration pushing back wholeheartedly and forcefully.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, hold your thought for a moment. I believe we have Ann on the line. Ann, go with the question or comment, please.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, is this a District of Columbia judge or that's doing this?
No, it's not. He's not a District of Columbia. I've forgotten what district he's in. It's not Columbia. Congressman Hill, do you know which district Congressman Hill that he's in?
I do not, Dr. Youngblood, but I suspect it's from some liberal district, San Francisco, who knows, Washington State, but... No, I don't know where this judge is from.
Oh, I was hoping he would be from the District of Columbia so that Congress could dissolve the District of D.C. And
You're on the second verse of my song now. I believe we need to go back to a congressional rule in the District of Columbia and not have it as a some type of semi-state where they make decisions and have their own guidelines, rules, and regulations. It was never designed that way by our Constitution and our founding fathers.
Yeah, it says that's that right. Congress maintains the power to overturn local laws and exercise greater oversight of the district than exists in any other state, and that the district's government exists only under the grace of Congress. So yes. I was hoping he was from there so that we could just go ahead and get rid of D.C.
That sounds good. Of course, on the other side of it, the leftists are wanting to make D.C. A state so that they'll have more influence, if you will, in Washington. And, of course, most people are not aware of the fact that the voters in D.C., I believe it's 97.9% or 99.7% all vote Democrat, so we know what that would mean for the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
But, Ann,
well,
you're exactly right.
I lived in D.C. in the 90s, and the crime was awful then, and I understand it's even worse now, so they need to do something with the District of D.C. and get it under control.
Absolutely. I'm in full agreement with that. We're talking about what we're seeing today is the what I call an unprecedented show of power from judges trying to do some legislation from the bench and trying to control the Oval Office, and that simply is not constitutional. But, Ann, thank you so much for your input. You're spot on with your statements. Congressman Hill, I'm looking at a further statement in this vast article. It says the Constitution does not create three equal branches of government. It creates three district branches, distinct branches, each supreme within its own sphere. The executive branch is not a mere administrative errand boy for the federal judiciary. It's a co-equal power, and in many ways, given its unitary and energetic structure, was designed to be the most vigorous defender of the people's liberty against both legislative overreach and judicial arrogance. Now, here's the point. Today, however, thanks to a lethal combination of legal ignorance, civil apathy, and judicial hubris, we've come to believe that any robed oligarch sitting on a federal bench can simply wave a gavel and paralyze the president. That is unconstitutional heresy.
Exactly.
That is constitutional heresy. How do you unravel that?
Well, I can't add or take away anything to that, Dr. Youngblood. That was very accurately and succinctly stated. That was perfect what he said. That the judicial branch has no authority to do what we see that these outlaw judges, these outlaw rulings are doing. I say outlaw because they are outside the constraints of the rule of law. That makes them outlaws. You can't do that. And so they should be ignored and then impeached.
Absolutely. In fact, this is a final thought. It says no federal judge, not even the entire Supreme Court, can legally issue a binding directive to an executive officer contrary to the president's lawful order. That would violate the structural principle of the separation of powers. If an executive officer disobeys the president in favor of a court's injunction, he is insubordinate and not obedient as he should be under the Constitution. It is amazing that we've devolved to this position today. So one of the things that I think we need to wrap up on with the thought for our listeners today to be able to embrace and understand. I'm not trying to advocate that we as citizens should simply disobey the laws of the land. I'm not saying that we should simply say, well, that's a governmental law, I'm not going to obey it. That's not the point. But Congressman Hill, my advocacy is on the basis of the fact that as I understand the scripture, God created civil government to protect the good and to prosecute the evil. We watched a flip-flop of that today, and we're witnessing an attempt to prosecute the good and protect the evil, and it ought not to be so. So how should we, as Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? What is the major takeaway you'd like for our listeners to understand today?
Dr. Youngblood, recently I've been reading a book called American Christian Rulers, Religion and Men of Government. It was written in 1889, and it lists a lot of the founding fathers and what their religious Christian nature was all about. And the foreword to this book was written in 2011. And the author of the foreword, his name is Michael Minkoff Jr., wrote this: "No amount of political maneuvering and institutional reform can make America great again." This was written in 2011. "Because it was not the greatness of her institutions that elevated America in the first place. It was the Christian piety of her people.
Absolutely.
A piety nurtured and practiced by early American leaders." That's the answer, Dr. Youngblood. It's up to us as Christians to turn to the Bible, to turn to our piety and live Christian lives.
Amen. I couldn't say that any better. Congressman Hill, thank you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in today to Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast